Welcome everybody to the third quarter conference call for CompuGroup. It's brought to you live from the Medica in Düsseldorf. Special welcome to everyone here present at the Medica. I would say the Medica is the second most important event in CompuGroup of the year after the annual general meeting, which of course is the constitutional highlight of any corporation. It's an excellent way for us to both share you the third quarter, which we do every year, and we have some good feature presentations for those of you present that this year will cover both our software for pharmacies business and our hospital business. First, we will do a review of the third quarter. We will do this in the normal way, with a presentation that will take about 20 minutes, and then we will have questions and answers. All in all, we expect to spend about 45 minutes before we move on to the feature presentations. If we move to slide number two, here we see the key figures for the second quarter. If we strip out the foreign exchange effects, which constitute about €1.6 million of revenue, we have about 2% organic growth. Profitability is comparable to last year. Altogether, given how we traded in the first half of the year, we consider this a good quarter, and we are quite happy with how it has played out, really without any surprises, and with a restored profitability level to where we have been last year. We will now go into some of the normal financial housekeeping items. We start on page three. Here we see the quarterly revenue development and our profitability. I think this graph clearly shows that there were some one-offs in the second quarter, some effects that were transitory, and they are now behind us, and we can now look forward with a starting point, which is at, say, the 23% EBITDA margin level, and hopefully something that we can work upwards in the period in front of us. Moving to slide number four, we see our cost of goods and gross margin. Again, we have this on a quarterly basis. It's probably the most uneventful slide in the deck. This is positive, as it just shows our stable business and the stable business model with a consistent revenue mix, and it just serves as a confirmation that the third quarter this year is indeed no different than the past, and that we have more than 80% gross margin on the products and services that we provide to our customers. Moving to slide number five, we have personnel expenses. Again, on a quarterly basis, given that we have the acquisitions in Italy, also with first-time consolidated personnel expenses, this graph shows that we were able to hit the brakes after we saw the revenue profile of the beginning of the year, and we are now more or less back to the same level of expenses as we had last year, which is a good basis for a profitable business, and also a good basis to drive our growth going forward. Slide six, other expenses. I guess we are in this quarter at the 34% mark relative to personnel expenses. That is the red line that we see here. Looking back in time, there is still some room for improvement here. And other expenses of about 30% of personnel expenses is a meaningful target for us to pursue. The third quarter this year, I guess, is in line with where we have been. And again, no real surprises to the expense level this year. Moving to slide seven, the operating cash flow. We see this again on a quarterly basis. It follows our expected pattern, with most of the cash generated in the first quarter because of the prepayments of software maintenance. I guess the biggest difference to last year is actually that we will pay more cash tax this year in 2013, basically because the cash tax payments lag reported results 1 year. Other than that, it is exactly the same profile that we've had and will have every year. Moving to slide number eight, our capital expenditure. There are two main items. It is our acquisitions in Italy, and it is buying up to 100% of our French business, which is the purchase of minority interest here. In France, we have had for years, ever since we have owned the business, a 25% minority partner. They had a change of ownership this year, which gave us the opportunity to move up to 100% of the business, which was always the target. And this then investment results in the same reduction in purchase price liability. Moving to slide number nine, our balance sheet. No big change from the middle of the year, from the end of June. We do get some more intangibles from the acquisitions and some more debt as part of the acquisition finance. Other than that, if you take it line by line, there are very, very few movements on our balance sheet, which again is as you can expect from our business. We now, on slide number 10, go through our business areas one by one. We start with our software for doctors business, where we follow our strategy for more than 25 years, which essentially means ever more doctors and ever more revenue per doctor. And if we look into this on slide 11, on how this has gone in the third quarter, it's a little bit of a divided picture in the sense that we are very happy with how the European business is running. It's close to double-digit organic growth at constant exchange, which is good. Not so happy with the U.S. business. I guess that's consistent with what we have seen in the first half of the year. If we then move to slide 12 and present the view on the U.S., I guess on a positive note, there is at least some sign that we have stabilized and hopefully can begin to grow the bookings and sales, which will be the first indication that this business will return to growth. And there are some drivers of growth coming, clearly. How quickly they will move into our P&L is still not clear. It's crystal clear that that's not going to be this year, and the most important reported number to monitor in the coming periods will be the bookings and sales, and to see them moving upwards. Moving to slide 13, we did a smaller acquisition, a little bit unusual for us actually, that we bought more or less a product with a limited install base. It's on the dental side in Italy. It is actually a very sexy product, and what makes this interesting is that if we look into the Italian dental market, it only has about a 50% penetration of computerized dental practices. So clearly the goal there will be to grow this organically in the local market in Italy, and we have already made an adapted version of this product for some of our more international markets in Asia and in South Africa. I guess building on the fact that it is a very cross-platform product, which is mostly actually used by Mac OS dental practices. So that's going to be interesting to follow in the period coming. On slide 14, we move to our second customer area, which is software for pharmacies. It's a relatively new and we will say promising area for CompuGroup. We've done this since 2011. It's built on the same philosophy as our doctor software business, ever more pharmacies and ever more revenue per pharmacy. If we look into how this traded in the third quarter on slide 15, It is, of course, dominated by the fact that we acquired our way into our second market, which is the Italian market. Other than that, we are very excited about how this year's Expo Farm, which is the trade fair highlight of the pharmacy software business, where we had record sales and order bookings. And all in all, this is a business that we have, I guess, many cards up our sleeves that we will also present following this presentation. This is only the teaser on slide 16, where we will actually present a growth-oriented strategy for our pharmacy software business here at the Medica, built again on the same basic philosophy of adding products and services to our broad installed base of pharmacy customers. On slide 17, as already mentioned, we have spent the last 2 years to create what we now call the CGM blueprint of a pharmacy software business. That means a full service provider of pharmacy software and services based on maintenance and rental contracts in a very efficient and high margin structure. This will also be presented more in detail in the feature presentation following the Q3. But the main point is that stepping into Italy, we have in the spirit of an integrated offering bought just say the software factory, which was Studio Pharma, and the largest sales partner, Quality in Farmacia, putting them together and basically recreating the same structure that we've been successful with in Germany. And the good news is that we start with roughly a 30% market share in the Italian market, more than 60% of revenue recurring, and an extremely stable customer base. But again, more details on this presented by the real managers coming up after this presentation. On slide 18, software for hospitals. This is our third main customer group. It is different to the doctor and pharmacy software business, as it's basically based on larger customers and larger delivery projects. Other than that, it is also a business that is based on the same basic software business model, maintenance, professional services and licenses. In the third quarter, which we see here on slide 19, was a good quarter for us. 7% organic growth is good. Austria, which is about 50% of our hospital market, had a good quarter. And the issues that we saw in the second quarter were transitory, and again we are back to a good quarter and something that points in the right direction also for our hospital business. And on slide 20, here is our second teaser. It is the second feature presentation that we will hold today. It's more details around our growth strategy. In the hospital market, we are currently in, say, phase two, where we are adding modules and new technology to our legacy products under the umbrella of what we call G3, which is a new technology platform. And all of this is pointing to the future where we will have one international technology platform called G3, which will drive our hospital business forward. Again, it's only a teaser, and there will be more details as to how this will play out following the Q3 conference call. On slide 21, we have summarized just here conceptually the extended business model that we have through our health connectivity services. These are basically add-on revenue streams from other participants in healthcare outside our core customer groups, being doctors, dentists, pharmacies, and hospitals. And typically, we will generate these revenue from pharma companies, from health insurance companies, and from basic ISP networking services. Slide 22, the communication and data part, which comes predominantly from pharmaceutical producers. As expected, no material sequential revenue development. We are at the roughly 5 million euros of revenue per quarter. This is also what we will get in the fourth quarter, and actually also approximately what we will get in the first quarter next year. So we are now in what we consider a stable picture. It is a business that has declined over the last few years, as we will see in this slide. But right now it is stable, a stable environment, and we have, I guess, a decent run rate for this business going forward also. Slide 23, we are at the workflow and decision support development. I guess year-on-year, it's more or less flat, but sequentially, it was a decent quarter where we are seeing some uptake of new products and services. For example, the NRW project, which is described more in detail in the financial report. And all in all, it is an area where we gradually are able to generate more business, but it doesn't move very fast this year. Putting all of this together on slide 24, again, the third quarter was more or less exactly as we predicted, and we also see that there is no change to our outlook to the last quarter of the year, which summarized means that we expect our revenue to be in the range of 458 million-463 million euros, and our EBITDA in the range of 97 million-100 million. And to slide 25, which is our new financial calendar, also extending into next year. We see that the next checkpoint in terms of financials will be the 5th of February, when we come out with the preliminary Q4 results. And then it goes in the normal sequence during the year, of course, with a highlight first on our AGM on the 14th of May, and of course the Medica, which next year will be slightly earlier, on the 12th of November. So this, in slightly less than 20 minutes, was the prepared presentation, and we now move into the Q&A session. I think we will start with questions coming from the audience here at the Medica first. And then when that is finished, we will take also questions from those dialed in at the conference call. I will tell you when we reach that point, and then you press star one to be queued up for your questions. So we start then with the audience.
Yeah, I have a question regarding the FX effect. Could you please split this up a bit for the different currencies, maybe also how the revenues are generated in different currencies?
Yeah, there are three main currencies, and one is the US dollar, which is about one third. And then we have actually the Norwegian kroner, which is, despite the relative size of the business, also one third, so that had a significant effect, and the Swedish kroner. So it's Scandinavian currencies, say, excluding Denmark and the U.S.
Yes, Henrik Lofoed, HSBC. Three questions, if I may. Firstly, on your pharmacy business. You mentioned in the report that you recorded a record high order intake. If I remember correctly, with the Q2 figures, you stated that you expect 8% organic growth for H2. So is this 8% organic growth rate still valid? Second question would be on the hospital business, where you've seen quite a strong organic growth of 7% this quarter, what would be your best guess for the quarters to come in that business? And finally, just a housekeeping item on the AIS business in the U.S., could you provide us with the EBITDA figure and margin in local currency? That would be great.
Yeah, so for the pharmacy business, there is no change to how we see that business. The biggest change will be in the Q4, actually, because there was a, say, non-pharmacy corporation contract, which has been phased out, and that was done after Q3 last year. So that will be the year-on-year basis change. For the hospitals, it is a business which will be, say, more up and down than the rest of our business, as it has roughly 50% recurring, and it depends then on projects and other sales during a quarter. We had a very good third quarter, slightly better than what we expected, probably. Having said that, we haven't changed our full-year outlook. The fourth quarter is an important quarter for hospital business, where you do get some year-end revenue. And putting everything together, we will have a decent year to the hospital business, but no change to the outlook that we gave in August. And EBITDA figures in the U.S., in the U.S., we are still at the black zero, so it's a few hundred K plus per quarter, no more than that. And certainly, for us, it's alpha omega to restore growth in this market. So I think any result that we get from our growth initiatives will just be reinvested in accelerating that growth in its current state. I think Andreas Wolf, you have tried two times, so third time lucky.
Thank you. Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. I have a couple of questions as well. The first one is regarding e-services. Maybe you could provide a couple of comments on how this business is going forward. The second is on third-party EFAP revenues. And then you had some issues in Q2 with content management software for social care. So maybe you could also comment on how the product launch is going forward here. And the last question is regarding cloud. Everyone is talking about the cloud in the software industry. I know it's not a must for a doctor to use a cloud product, but many software companies use it to save costs, as it's easier to distribute this kind of software. So maybe you could provide on whether you see any opportunities here as well. Thank you.
So I'm almost tempted to answer e-services and EFAP together, as certainly they are moving all in the right direction. We have sold more e-services this year than last year, and we sell every day, and hopefully we will sell a lot here at the Medica. We are today at about a 3% penetration of our customer base in Germany, which I would still consider low compared to its inherent potential. But in the absence of, say, more triggers to drive doctors to adopt such a service, it's probably going to develop in a more incremental, gradual way, and then maybe initiatives like the telematic infrastructure or other, say, activities could create more step changes. But right now, it's more in a gradually, slowly growing. There is some accelerating to the growth, but it's not an exponential curve. And it's the same thing with EFAP. Right now, there isn't a big push to drive doctors into more advanced prescribing tools. Yeah. Frank wants to have a comment. Yeah. Few comments on this as well.
Yes, e-services, is is currently being paid by our doctors' customers, by our physicians, by the practices, but it's also a platform for our future business in the consumer sector. And I think what is worth to mention is that our estimation how the population of patients grows with the growth of practices is in line, so we can see that 10 to 20% depends on the type of the practice of the patients of the doctor who runs e-services for a while get on this service. So this is very, very good that we can see that over a while we get around about 15 to 20% of the patients of a doctor on that service. So this is, if you see the population in Germany or in Europe, this is, a good step forward in into business and communication with patients, with consumers, with everyone who needs sometime a doctor.
Yeah, good. Then, yeah, to just wrap up EFAP, it's moving in the all in the right direction, but I think in the absence of stricter rules and enforcement to more stringent prescribing solutions, it's going to be more in the same path as it is today, a gradual incremental development. For the social care software and product launches, that's fairly easy to answer. That's all solved, and that's going to serve us well in the coming quarters. So that was pure transitory in the second quarter. Cloud, yes, we agree that in the long run, it will all in some way or another end up in the cloud. I would say we are fully prepared for this. Both in how we are developing our products, say in a strategic way, and our ability as a service provider to not just supply this, say, in the cloud as such, but also within the necessary data privacy, data security, and regulatory framework, which probably in healthcare will never be fully let loose in a free-for-all fashion. I think that would be in nobody's interest. But it would be based on qualified, certified providers, CGM and others, who gradually will, say, move the stored patient data out from the corners of pharmacies, doctors' offices and hospitals into more central locations, and this will be a gradual process where we will also participate. But nothing that will happen overnight, this is clear.
Thank you, Uwe Schupp, Deutsche. Two questions, please. Firstly, just to follow up on your last answer, do you see the risk that following a wider cloud adoption, it is also easier for some of your potential competitors or maybe existing competitors in the hospital business to move into the into your core business of doctor software simply because the distribution model would be much, much easier compared to the traditional sales model, which apparently is obviously not very attractive to many of the bulge bracket software firms? And then secondly, could you please update us on the initiative of the basically the Gesundheitskarte? What's the status there? How do you see yourself in the various consortiums who apparently have bid for the initial tenders? What could be the upside potentially already for next year? And when do you expect some real revenue there? Thanks.
Yeah, so for the first question, yes, you know, the market is gradually going to change. This is clear. And in any changing market, there will be opportunities and challenges. And I think the good news is this, in healthcare, because of its regulatory environment, you have the time to adapt and to counter. But certainly we will see in the future probably more of the larger players reaching down than in the opposite direction. But again, herein comes, say, the benefit of some of the frustration, for example, which we have in workflow and decision support, that nothing changes overnight. And it is a very gradual process where I think in any case we are best positioned
to maintain and even build on these changes to our benefit. But it means we have to be vigilant and certainly not sleep as these changes come by. On the telematic infrastructures and EGK, there's not much to say. We have done everything we can to show how good we are on all dimensions of the offers. They have now been handed in to the Gematik GmbH in sealed envelopes, bound by total secrecy. And as I said, now they have to make a decision. They have said they will make a decision before the end of the year. And I think until that happens, our lips will be very much sealed. But yeah, exciting area. I would say for me, one of the most important, say, new arenas for us. So I think we are all super excited. But right now, we just wait. We have done everything we can, and we just have to wait now for the decision.
Yes, this is Florian from Comet, from Commerzbank. I have a question regarding your US business. First of all, looking at the competitor's Q3 reporting, the gap between your performance and the competitor's performance is becoming even wider, from my point of view, seeing double-digit growth against double-digit decline. Can you elaborate on this a bit? The second point is you talk about KPI for the US business booking. When can we expect to see some impact on the top line? The last question with respect to the US, we talk a lot about cloud business or cloud readiness of your product. Do you also have a cloud solution for the US? As if you look at other software companies, they're all talking about a much higher penetration of cloud revenues or cloud software revenues in the US.
Yeah, so on the peer side, I think like for like, the difference is not quite as big as you indicate, as some of the US companies are maybe not so clear on stripping out acquisition revenue from organic revenue. But you're right, we haven't had, this has been a setback for our US business in 2013. We had a good year last year, I guess in hindsight. We're not trying to make too many excuses and maybe more move into the and not trying to say look too much to our peers, because they will not solve our challenges for us. We have to do that ourselves. So quickly I will jump to your second question, bookings and when does this translate. Typically the cycle time for an order into revenue is, say, quarter to quarter. It is within 90 days. So typically, if you see an uptake on bookings, that will transcend into the following quarter, no longer than that. Cloud US, you're absolutely right. If you don't have a cloud solution, at least from profile, you are nothing in the US. You will sell nothing. So since we sell for almost $4 million per quarter, we have a cloud solution in the US. But everyone has this. Whether it's, say, cloudified old client server solutions or full-blown cloud solutions. We have a full-blown cloud solution, but I think it's more the image than what you actually provide. Okay, there's a follow-up from Andreas.
Maybe one quick regarding your future acquisition strategy, especially given your experiences in the US, will you probably return to your past pattern of only acquiring the market leader in the respective market? Maybe you could comment on this as well. Thank
you. So the short answer is yes. Keep in mind that in most markets now we are the market leader. So I would say you will see some bolt-ons that complement and strengthen that leadership position. But I think if you look in, it was a clear break point from 2011 to 12, where we said a buy and build strategy remains. But given the positions we already have, the relative size of these transactions to the rest of our business will be less. And I think the pattern that you've seen, for example, the acquisition in Italy, and size-wise, is typically what you should always also expect going forward. I think that concludes the questions here from the audience, and then to those listening on the conference call, we can take questions also from you on the telephone. There seems to be nothing coming from the outside. Okay, there is one coming.
Hello, this is Sabine Wollra from Reuters. Could you elaborate a little bit on the problems of your U.S. business? And could you say something about next year? What are your expectations for sales, for EBITDA, and for EBITDA margin?
So to answer the second question first, the short answer would be no. We cannot say anything about next year. But we will do this on the 5th of February. And then, as to the problems, clearly 2013 was based on a continued effect from the EHR stimulus in the US, which, according to our planning and our analysis, ended 1 year earlier than what we expected. And this has meant that we've had to realign that business to broader set of products and services, also back to the, say, financial systems that are core for the U.S. healthcare industry. And this transition basically, as it turns out, has taken us all through this year. And you could argue about peers and comparisons, but if you look into the overall industry, to larger or lesser extent, that is a consistent picture that you will see across the market.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Good. Then, to those of us, those of you who have dialed in and listened to the conference call, thank you for listening in. We will now hang you up, or you can hang up yourself.